Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Athos Life podcast. I'm here with Joe Stout again, and we're going to be going over time management, responsibilities, priorities, and success. Joe is a busy man. He's busy in owning a business as well as very active in the community. It's a perfect opportunity to talk to him about these types of time management skills and how he is able to concentrate on all the things that he's doing and then be productive. So I want to start off with a verse and a quote just to set our minds kind of like on this idea of time management and what the Bible and some significant philosophers have had to say about it. So start off here with Proverbs 6, verses 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. So that's what the Proverbs have to say about time and not the improper use of it. And then Seneca, who is a Roman philosopher, he has to say, it is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste a lot of it. Life is long enough and sufficiently generous amount has been given to us for the highest achievements if it were all well invested. So, and Joe, I think you have a quote on this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to share it with you. And time management is one of those things where we all want to get better at it, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
There's never a point where, oh, I've arrived. I'm now
absolutely
the guru at this kind of thing. There's a great business writer by the name of Peter Drucker, and he wrote a very, very influential book back in the 60s called The Effective Executive. And he talks about a variety of different things that an executive in the business world in his context, but the point. And the concepts can be applied to all areas of life, whether you are an employee, an employer, whether you are a volunteer, whatever area of life that you live in. He says, time is a unique resource. One cannot rent, hire, buy, or otherwise obtain more time. The quote actually goes on. He has a whole section on how valuable time is because it's the one thing you can't store up. You can't save it. You can't do anything with it. It's just, it marches on inexorably. And so how we use it is, like Seneca said, it's not that we don't have enough of it. God has given us the exact amount of time that we needed.
Right.
So what are we going to do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to take this idea of time and when it really comes to applying that and using it productively. That's the hard part because we can understand it's like money. It's something that we can spend and we understand the value of it.
Sure.
But then spending it well is the hardest thing to make that connection.
And money can grow if you invest it wisely. Time can never grow.
Yep, it can never grow. Absolutely. So I want to just start off here with asking you, have you managed and prioritized your different responsibilities and just kind of expound to that because I know you're very involved in church and you have a large family and as well as business. So.
Yeah. A lot of things that are in need of my attention. A lot of things that are in need of my time. And one of the things that before I say anything on my particular strengths or my far more numerous weaknesses as it relates to time management, I will just say that when it comes to time management and how we use the time that God gives us. Thanksgiving is like the primary motivator. So like, are we thankful for the time that we've been given or are we spending our time grousing about how there's not enough time in the day and how I'm so busy and you know, those kinds of things. And so one of the things my wife and I have found is that when we first got married, we were really, really busy.
Yeah.
We were so busy. And then we had a baby and it was like, holy cow, we are so busy. I don't know how anybody does this. And yet every time another baby would come or a new priority or a new responsibility would come along, the grace of God would allow you to figure out how to make it happen.
Right.
And that's not to look down on us down on us when we only had one kid or to down on anybody if you're not even married. It's like the life that you have and the life that God has given you is a real thing, and He will give you the grace that is necessary for you. So when we had one kid, I have 10 kids now. When we had one kid, God was not giving us the grace to manage a household of 10 kids. He was giving us the grace to manage a household of one child. And so that's like a huge first thought. You always got to go back to the idea that God gives us the grace for what we need, for where we are. And He's not giving us the grace that He gave to somebody else.
Right. Well, it's also there's a shift in the responsibilities there. When you're like a person, you're single, And the response, you think you're so busy with everything that you have.
Yeah.
And then you, when you have a kid, I noticed this with my parents, and they have three foster kids now. It's like their time, it's like, it's less selfish now. It's your time has to be given to them other than rather than yourself. And that's, that's a big shift that I'm nervous for. That's going to be a hard shift to make in my mind, just because of how long I've spent like trying to develop myself and be a better person, just myself. And then now you have to try and pour that into another person.
Absolutely. And that's a, I'm a proponent of people getting married younger than later, sooner than later. And so one of the reasons for that is if you wait a really long time and you delay marriage, it gets that much harder to actually, you know, acclimate the two lives of the two people together who are used to doing things a certain way.
Yeah, you get rid of that selfishness.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because you're just building it up, and the longer you're single.
Yep.
So, but if you can kind of just dive into kind of what are some strategies you've had? I mean, even if you don't have strategies, what have you done to try and build up that that productivity and balance all those things that you have responsibilities over?
I'm a big believer in reading, finding out what has worked for other people. Douglas Wilson wrote a great book called Plotactivity. That was really helpful. And it's not really actually my style of productivity. I'm not a from what I hear about him, for example, is he really is the kind of guy that he's always day in and day out putting in the time to put in 5 minutes in this project and 10 minutes on this project. So he really, one of the things that he said that was very helpful for me is like, if you want to build a brick wall, it might be better to do it 10 minutes a day rather than 10 hours, you know, once a quarter.
Right.
You know, and there's different schools of thought on that. There is another guy by the name, I think it's Cal Newport, that wrote Deep Work.
Okay.
Deep Work was a fantastic book in terms of just helping understand the need for not just being productive in light tasks, but actually taking deep dives into thinking deeply about projects in a way that's hard to do in 10 minutes here and 15 minutes there. And so those are two somewhat competing books in terms of the actual practical tools that they give you, but both are really, really important. Because one of the things that I can find myself doing is if I'm a perfectionist in how I use my time, I'll think, well, I only have 30 minutes, so that's not really enough time to do anything. So I'll just blow that 30 minutes doing something not useful.
Yeah, right.
Whereas we need to be filling in the gaps, especially the busier we get, the less long uninterrupted breaks that we get.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing for me is dealing with the constant interruptions. Yeah. But that's like what you got to get. You got to figure that out.
Yep.
You got to figure out how, like, I'm not going to ever, ever have the ideal working condition where everyone leaves me alone.
Yeah. No, that's very rare. That doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't matter where you are in life. You're going to get interrupted. Yeah. And so the interruptions are coming. How are you, how are you going to stay with your goals in spite of the interruptions?
Right. I've noticed that with myself. Like, if I only have like 45 minutes to go to the gym, usually it's like an hour and 15 that I set aside.
Yeah.
When it's 45 minutes, I'm like, no, I'm not going to go to the
gym
today. Exactly.
Right. But so, how much can you get accomplished in 45 minutes? A ton.
And sometimes those are even better workouts because you're like, I only have 45 minutes. I'm just going to go hard.
Yep.
So, but what have you noticed have been some of like the biggest struggles, like with these things that are obviously competing and you kind of have like tiers of like importance?
Yep.
What is the kind of the biggest?
And these kind of tiers too.
Blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah, exactly. So what have been some of the biggest difficulties that you have experienced with those?
Dave Ramsey wrote a book called Entree Leadership. Fantastic book. I've read that book two or three times. I don't usually reread books, but I read Effective Executive twice. I read Entree Leadership twice, at least twice. But he talks about when you prioritize your day, he has a specific way of doing it, but he basically says, have one thing that if you can get that one thing done by the end of the day, then it's been a successful day. And you should probably plan more than just that one thing. But you need to, he calls it your A1 steak sauce. What's your A1 steak sauce for the day? And if you can get that A1 steak sauce done, then don't beat yourself up if you didn't get to the other projects you were hoping to.
Yeah.
So that's a good way of like, before the day goes crazy, plan out what is the one thing. What's the one thing I want to do?
Right.
What's the one thing I want to have done at the end of this day?
Right.
I don't always do that, but when I do it, my days go demonstrably better.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. If like you sit down and you take 15 minutes to either write out a calendar or just like some thoughts of the things that you want to get done, and then focus on getting those things done, it kind of lays the groundwork for what you're going to do for the rest of the day. And it's like, if I get those things done, then I seem to have much more time.
Right.
And I enjoy the time better. Yep. I'm not like sitting with those things over my head, just worried about that.
Yeah. And for a man in your position where you're a young man, you're, you know, going to get married at some point here in the future, and you're going to be taking more and more dominion over the world that God has put before you. There does become a point as you get later in life, like myself, where your own to-do list starts to actually take a little bit of a backseat to helping others with their to-do lists.
Right.
Because I've got 10 kids, and I want my 10 kids to manage time better than I have.
Right.
I've never actually been that good at managing time.
Right.
So it's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of how not to do it. But I want my kids to not struggle with the same things that I've struggled with distraction and you know, just chasing every shiny object.
In today's day and age, it's really easy. It's with cell phones. It's like we're all like focused on that short-term gratification.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we should be leveraging the power of technology to get things done faster than we've ever gotten done before. I was talking with a gentleman who outfits churches with their sound systems and with all their technology, and he said that what would take them like 3 months to do, just like 30 years ago, they can do in 30 minutes now.
Wow.
It's so much faster, because before they would have to go take pictures and do write-ups and mail things back and forth, and they don't have to do that anymore. Because the power of technology is like this great gift.
Right.
How are we going to use this gift?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our listeners, and certainly I can speak for myself, have often used that great gift that God has given us to bless the world, and we've used it for just either wicked purposes or just mindless, you know, just mind trash type things. The things that you actually literally cannot remember what you were looking at 30 seconds ago.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's these, I'll be scrolling through reels, and then there's these little ads for like these time management apps.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it's like,
I don't have time for that.
Stop mindlessly scrolling. I'm like, that's exactly what I'm doing. And I have to like put my phone down.
Sure, our ability to focus has drastically decreased with the advent of the internet.
Yep.
And so the internet's not going away, and we should be thankful for it. But we have to recognize that social media is the worst.
Yeah,
it absolutely ruins focus. It ruins your ability to focus on one thing for a long time.
Yep.
Because you constantly are wanting that 15 second dopamine hit of like, okay, the whole human experience in 15 seconds. Okay, do it again. The whole human experience in 15 seconds. Do it again. Now I can't even remember what I just saw.
Right.
But my mind was reinforced with this destructive use of time.
Yep. Yeah, that's something when we go to Idaho, for a hunting trip like every year, and it's like 1 to 2 weeks, and we don't have cell phone service up there, so we have to put our phones down, and the one task is like get up and go hunt, and we're waking up at 4:30 in the morning, and we'll be hiking like 12-15 miles, and we'll get back at 4:30, and then you have to prepare your lunch, your pack, make sure your rifle is ready, and it's like that one after a week or two of doing that, you get back and you're like, I have so much time, because then you just start and you think it's a good reset, and so, but that just interesting how that short term gratification can impact so much and take so much away from your life.
Yep. The Neil Postman wrote a book called I think it was Neil Postman, right? Amusing Ourselves to Death. I think it's Amusing Ourselves to Death. I believe that's what it is. But in the book, if I'm remembering this correctly, if not, we'll correct it in the show notes. But in Amusing Ourselves to Death, Neil Postman is talking about, I might be confusing that with another one of his books, but he's talking about the advent of the television. And he wrote the book back in the 80s and how the television has destroyed public dialogue. Mm. So like when you hear a presidential debate, they're not actually debating anything.
Right.
They're just throwing bumper sticker slogans at each other.
Yep.
And that was back in the 80s. And if you look back on some of the presidential debates in the 80s, they're actually incredibly in-depth compared to today.
Yeah.
you read this book and you think, are you talking about the internet or are you talking about television? Because the internet is like television on crack cocaine. It's like so much worse in terms of destroying actual productivity in the ironic promise of additional productivity.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the one thing that I would encourage you guys on is to change that exact thing is from that short-term goal of scrolling on your phone being distracted from the actual responsibilities. And because even with work, this can happen where you can be working for a goal and you can see something productive, you get done. And it's like, well, I made this thing happen, so right. I'm good. Whereas you're not necessarily keeping a long-term goal in mind.
Sure.
And so you're doing these little things that can, because I noticed this with school. Like school is like you have to do something and it's a buildup of time.
Right.
Where you're spending all this time on doing this thing and it doesn't seem like the end is very, very near.
Yep.
You're not going to see the fruits of that very soon. Whereas if I come to work every day, I can get something done every day.
Right.
And
yeah.
so.
Yeah, you get that fulfillment of checking something
yeah.
off your list.
Yeah.
But you got to also not forget the long-term goal.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
And so I would encourage you guys to set goals for yourselves long-term and then to stick to those goals. Like for school, even especially, like if you get off work and you're going to do school, just take an hour in that day, because by the end of the week, that's going to build up. You have that bank of time that you have now spent, and you can look back and be like, yeah, I got a lot done. So set goals for yourself. Try and put the phone down. Like that's a hard thing to do, but put the phone down as much as you can and focus on setting those goals and trying to achieve those goals over a period of time. And I promise you it's going to reap, you're going to see rewards from that. You're going to reap benefits from that. So
one of the hacks, if you really want to keep social media in your life, which it would be a great reason, it'd be a good thing for anyone watching this to just delete social media. That'd be a fine thing.
Yeah.
You're not going to actually lose anything if you do that. But if you're going to keep social media in your life, one of the great hacks that I found is that just don't have any of the apps on your phone. Not only are they not going to be able to spy on you, which those Facebook app absolutely does.
Exactly.
But if you force yourself to always have to log in or use a slightly less responsive interface like a browser or something like that, you want to make the Cheeto bowl not quite so tempting.
Right.
You
know? Right there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the cabinet. You have to go get it.
Yeah, you have to actually like go out of your way, and you're not just going to mindlessly go there for every 3 minutes of mind break that you get.
Right,
so
exactly.
That's just a little, if you want to keep social media, I actually have found that even being a grown man, like I can't really trust myself with social media very much, because I just can't seem to not waste time with it.
Right.
I find it interesting.
Yeah.
It's not like I think it's bad. It's not like I think it's like, oh, you're weak if you use social media. I find that because I'm weak, I don't really work that well with social media. So I do have social media occasion that I'll occasionally log into, but I try to make the real world be the thing that I do most of my effort into.
Right.
It's harder to share with everybody else, but it does help. In terms of making, Peter Drucker said, always keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe he said first things first and second things not at all. So it's like, what is more important, you know, building that Instagram base? And maybe that's super important for your business, but is building that Instagram base as important as reading that book that you've been meaning to read? That, you know, you can read it on a Kindle, you can read it on the Kindle app, but then that TikTok app is right next to you. It's just a thumb press away. So read a real book. You know, try to put those stops in your way so that you do have to go get the Cheetos from the cupboard if you're going to eat them. Or even better yet, you have to go buy them at the store.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you don't even have them in your house.
It's that barrier to entry where you can't just be immediately gratified.
Yep.
So absolutely. I appreciate your time, Joe, and I hope that you guys have kind of just got a little idea there of time management and how to better yourselves in the long term. We're going to be coming out with more content here soon, so make sure you guys are subscribed and like to this YouTube channel and wherever we're going to put this out. I think eventually Spotify and those types of areas. So make sure you guys are following along with us, and I appreciate you guys' support. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.
Cool.
Well done.
That was much better.
This little blessing's like, oh, the podcast died, so.
Yeah. A legitimate excuse for resetting myself.
Yeah, exactly. So are these kind of going?